Well, this morning is Mother's Day, and let's take a moment to give thanks for what God has given to us as families and churches. So turn with me, if you will, to three particular passages in the book of Proverbs. I know we've spent a lot of time in Proverbs, but we're going to go back there this morning, and we'll be looking at three particular passages as we look at the gift of motherly wisdom. From Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9, Proverbs 14, verse 1, and then Proverbs 31, 25 through 26. As we've said many times, the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about the benefit of godly fathers and mothers. And it's also clear that God, through Solomon, seeks to make parental authority equal. Now, the headship principle is always there, and one of the ways we know this is because he begins usually by addressing the father, which tells us clearly that there is a structure of accountability, for his whole household before God, which is an amazing privilege as fathers and husbands, but also a tremendous burden if we understand it correctly. But at the same time, he addresses mothers as he does, making it obvious that there is a oneness in authority with the father, a oneness seen in a very clear illustration. When one parent says something, the children know instinctively that the other parent would say it as well, that they are one in their authority and their training and their wisdom. You reach that ability of understanding, your children reach that ability pretty quickly if you're consistent in how you teach. Now, and that's true because we're both, husbands and wives, are both charged along with the church to raise these little ones up before the face of God. Now, motherhood has, well, let's just say motherhood has been under attack for the last few decades, trying to redefine and trying to tell us clearly what the world thinks that mothers ought to be, most of the time saying mothers should never be home. They should be pursuing their own dreams. But the culture has also been redefining marriage, redefining personhood as well. So it's been busy seeking to disrupt and to reject the word of the Lord. So it's important that we have mothers who are able to stand up by God's design and tell the truth no matter what society says and no matter what society does, to live that truth out before them. This truth goes to the heart of our children's basic identities, something we need to take seriously. The biblical distinctions for gender are confused in our culture, which leads to general confusion that we see today. But we all need to remember God has entrusted with us these little ones, and there is no greater task for a Christian parent and a Christian church for that matter than to raise up our children to God's glory. So on this Mother's Day, we'll be looking at motherhood as a high calling from God, as well as the gift of motherly wisdom, which is a great blessing. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for your word that continues to remind us of the simple truths. We thank you, Father, for the mothers, the wives, the godly women that you've placed in our midst. For, especially as a husband and a father, I wouldn't be complete without my wife. And the wisdom that my wife has poured in as the mother of my children cannot be repeated by me in any way, shape, or form. We need that, and we're thankful for it. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said before, this morning we're going to look at three particular sections of the book of Proverbs in making the point that I believe God wants us all to remember, but especially godly mothers, to remember this morning that you've been placed here to do God's will and that godly motherly wisdom still is a blessing and still is necessary. Now, not being a woman myself, I'm not even trying to do that, or a mom, there's much I dare not say. But I can and should say what the Lord talks to us about on this subject with the hopes that our moms, the women in our midst, and all of us really will be encouraged by the truth that God's Word is here to instill us with, to give us hope and to strengthen us in how He speaks of godly women, of our mothers this morning. As I said before, being a mother is a hard task in our society, but as you look through history, and I'm a student of history, I don't know that it's ever been an easy task, to be sure. But because God is always speaking in the Scriptures about mothers and fathers, I mean, even one of the Ten Commandments is devoted to the discussion about how children specifically are to interact with their parents, but also how we look at authority in its biggest realm. But all the Proverbs, of course, as we've seen many times, is a contrast between wisdom and folly. So we'll look at the importance of our mother's teaching from chapter 1. Then we'll look at the blessing of our mother's diligence from chapter 14. And then lastly, we'll see the confidence of their assurance in Proverbs 31. And when I use the word mother and godly women, those three are just synonyms for the elect women before us. So the importance of your teaching, the blessing of your diligence, and the confidence of your assurance, all three communicate what God has to say about the gift of motherly wisdom, how it's still a blessing and it is still necessary. So let's begin with the first point, if you will, the importance of our mother's teaching, Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and a penance for your neck. Now, this is one of those passages that actually non-believers can understand. It's pretty simple. It's straightforward. Children are required by God to listen to their father's instruction and not forsake, or the actual Hebrew word there is not abandon, their mother's teaching. Seems simple enough. Listen and do not forsake or do not abandon the teaching of wisdom that God has given to our parents to give to our children. Now, abandon may seem a bit harsh or a hard word, but we don't use the word forsake any more than we use the word abandon either. It's interesting, if you think about it, though, why would it be necessary for God to use such a word when describing how we're to treat, or how our mother's teaching is often treated by being abandoned? Well, is it that we see dad as the disciplinarian, as mom as the pushover? Is that why he's making that connection? Well, if it is, it just shows us something very clearly, and that exasperates that our sin nature takes over how we deal with one or the other parent, to be sure. Because by using the word forsaken or abandoned, God is making the point rather clearly that the sin here is a deliberate disobedience. That this abandoning our mother's teaching or forsaking it is willful disobedience, willful sinfulness on the part of this particular son, Solomon's son, or even us, when we choose to rebel. God commands honor towards parents equally. He places mothers on an equal footing with fathers when it comes to the authority over their children and the teaching, the wisdom, the training that they are to give. Even if the methods are different, because being a woman is different than being a man, irregardless of what culture tries to tell us. So we naturally approach things differently. However, what binds us together is a unity in message and purpose based in God's Word. It's okay to have that diversity of style, but we all do it based in the same foundational message. But what about this fact that our kids, especially as they grow, they don't always agree with us? Is it just a matter of differing opinions? And it should be okay because it's a differing opinion? Well, that would be okay if parents and child were equal, on the same scale, equal, but they're not. Godly parents specifically have been raised in that godly wisdom of God. They have years of experience, and so when they speak, they are to be heeded. And he makes the point here very clearly. When our mothers speak, when our godly mothers speak, we are to heed what they say. And there will be blessings that come along with that. A garland for around our neck, pendant or on our head, or crown, if you will, and a pendant around our neck. These are things that show that something amazing has happened. You said Kevin graduated, and part of his graduation, he received a medallion placed on a white sash around his neck. That's something that every parent can be proud of. And in the way that we work before the Lord, it brings God glory as well when he gives us these gifts, when he rewards us for that godly behavior. And that's what's going in mind. So when we abandon a mother's teaching or we toss it aside, we are destroying that relationship between child and mother, between child and parent. When that wisdom is godly wisdom from God itself. Now, we are not perfect, and as parents, we make mistakes. Let me change that word. As parents, we sin. And so we are to still focus on that relationship as well, for it is that godly relationship, especially the godly mothers and fathers that he gives us, that enables us to grow. Paul pointed that out to Timothy. I love this. I am reminded of your sincere faith. Now, what was his faith? I love this. A faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice. For now I am sure dwells in you. I am sure, I'm assured, I am confident. I know absolutely that the faith of your grandmother and the faith of your mother, who were examples of the faith that God gave them, is in you. And I'm so confident of that, I'm going to ordain you to the ministry because your faith has been so clear that your desire is to make sure that that faith is communicated to everyone else. Now, faith comes from Christ. We're justified in Christ. I can't have received faith just because my mom's a believer. But she can teach me, just like the grandmother and the mother of Timothy taught him what faith looked like in the world. That foundation, that grace, that strength, that wisdom enables him to do and to move forward. Because of the fear of the Lord that defined them, defined their teaching, defined their life, and a father's instruction. All of this must be listened to and heeded, so that as we grow, we may experience the personal blessings promised to us by God. How we treat our parents, especially our mothers, before God matters. So listening and heeding to our mother's faithful teaching is necessary, but next we also see the blessing of our mother's diligence. This passage is an interesting one. The wisest of women builds their house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. A couple of things are clear here from the scripture that this passage highlights in extremely short form. Keeping it in the context of the rest of Proverbs, we get all the details. First, the wisest of women plan and build for the glory of God because of the fear of the Lord. The foolish one sees the prosperity, the wise women, and they seek to tear her down. We see that in the culture around us. The more you stand up for the scripture, the more you stand up for your faith, the more you speak and live out the way God defined womanhood, the more you're under attack, if you're in the workplace especially. Trouble is, you're under attack within the church that has become so mealy-mouthed in acceptance of the definitions of the world that we've walked away and rejected the truths that God clearly planted from the very beginning. I create them male and female. To go online and find 100 and some plus different genders tells you how screwed up the population has become. Because there's only two. It's important for us to recognize these things and understand God's law is crucial, especially as we train our children, because their identity is dependent upon that work in so many different ways. The second thing is that the wise woman's family and influence grows as it grows, as her influence grows, as the family grows, her faith comes under constant attack. As I said, the woman of folly is going to do her very best to bring into mind everything she says and to corrupt it, to change it so that people like her children and people like her husband, people within the church, people in the culture will look at her differently. That's the woman of folly's job, to undermine, to cut down, where the godly woman's job is to do what? Build her house, to build things up for the glory of God. That's the difference between evil and faith. Evil seeks to destroy, undermine, where a woman of faith is meant to build. That's her calling. Meant to build on that. In fact, the woman of folly can't do anything but destroy or seek to destroy. Thankfully, God is in control, and ultimately the woman of folly will be destroyed herself. Paul says to both Timothy and Titus, to bring this to a full package, women are called, godly women are called to manage their households, to use their wisdom, to build their household, to strengthen their family, to build up their husbands, to be a wonder and a glory to God Himself. The implication, of course, is that when a woman fulfills the roles that God has laid out for her, that God will be glorified in all of that. What builds up all within her household brings glory to God. Now, we see many examples of this biblical balance throughout Scripture. We began this teaching here of God commanding our children, young and old, to not forsake their mother's teaching. Right now, we see Him declaring that this woman, the wisest of women, builds her house well. We'll see in a moment from Proverbs 31:27, says she looks well to the ways of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. God gives the woman that woman of diligence, if you will, the blessing of doing these things. The blessing of godly wisdom is seen in the diligence that you as mothers and godly women bring to the special calling God has given you. Whether you're at home as a stay-at-home mom or whether you are a woman who works outside the home. The Proverbs 31 woman obviously worked outside the home, and yet she was a blessing because she followed the way of the Lord, and she followed and cared and built up her home. And in the New Testament, we see even Lydia, who came to faith, and her whole household was baptized. Then she offered hospitality to Paul and his ministry team. And not only that, her house as a church. Plus, she had a vibrant business from all we can understand as well. The wisest of women builds her house. She intentionally does this to God's glory, for she fears the Lord. She knows there is much folly that will seek to tear down everything that God puts her to do, even the business that she has, if God so sees fit. It's evident that she balances well all that God had given her to the glory of the Lord. Building her house is the highest priority of the wisest of women, godly mothers, for it reveals to all who are watching the centrality of her faith and her desire to keep God's commands, which will ultimately, that diligence will ultimately affect those in her presence so that they can be a blessing by their diligence to the word, to the glory of God. So then lastly, we see the great reward of heeding our mother's, our godly mother's teaching. We see the great blessing that comes from her diligence to stay focused on the Lord with whatever God has given her. Now we see the confidence of her assurance of faith from Proverbs 31, 25 and 26. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Look at what her assurance nets those around her. She is seen as a woman who is clothed with strength and dignity. That's what people experience about her character as well. And her children grow up in seeing that's what God expects as we grow up. Her example helps them define their identity. She isn't sinless in any way, shape, or form, but her life is defined by that strength and dignity of a true woman of God, clothed with grace and faithfulness and trustworthiness and love. But not only that, because of her faith, she can laugh at the time to come. As you remember when we talked about this from Proverbs 31 woman many times, but as we went through Proverbs, it's one of my favorite definitions of this wise woman. She laughs with the assurance of her salvation, trusting in God's providence, even His severe providence, that it is right, that it is always good, which gives her the confidence then to laugh in the face of the time to come. For she knows where she's going, and she communicates that clearly to everyone around her, trusting in God's providence. She opens her mouth with wisdom to instill faith. There are so many women displayed in Scripture, something I believe we should take a little bit more time to ponder, especially us guys. Many of these women reveal the wisdom of their faith to those around them. And never being overbearing, because the writer of Proverbs goes on to say, the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Kindness. Hesed. The steadfast love of the Lord. The grace of the Lord from the New Testament. The covenantal love of God is on her tongue. In fact, the Hebrew actually says, on her tongue is the law of kindness. Or the law of Hesed. It is her confidence in her assurance that is a blessing to all. So the teaching of godly mothers is to be heeded for our own benefit. There is great blessing that comes from her diligence in the work of the Lord. Her confidence in her assurance gives strength to all in her midst. She is all these things and more because of her faith, her fear of the Lord. And as we bring this book of Proverbs to an end, it's that fear of the Lord that not only should cause us to heed what she says, but to praise her. To praise her for God's gift to us. Example of how we are to live before the Lord. Her motherly wisdom is still a blessing. Pray with me. Father, we thank you again for the gifts that you've given us, even with our mothers and our spouses and the godly women in our midst. We are thankful, Father, for how they enable us to grow and challenge us to grow, but also how to love. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name.